Kip put his hands in his pockets, feeling the frogs. You came to the right men. We can do it. We want to do it, Richard. They were excited because they had never made it past the guards before. This was uncharted territory for their specialty. Richard knew they didn't appreciate the danger involved, and he hated to have to use them in this manner, but it was the only thing he could think of. All right, then. Start counting. Richard rounded the corner and swept down the hall, his Mrswith cape billowing open. When he reached the proper door, he stood against the white marble wall opposite the double doors and drew the hood up. He pulled the cape closed and concentrated on the marble behind him. He stood motionless. The boys burst around the corner, yelling and screaming at the top of their lungs as they ran down the hall. They stopped in front of the double doors, looking both ways. They didn't see him standing behind them, and he knew they were wondering where he was hiding. As they had been instructed, they threw the doors open and, giggling with excitement, began pulling frogs from their pockets and pitching them into the room. The two sisters were frozen in surprise for only an instant. Richard watched as both came flying around their desks, one snatching up a rod. The boys heaved their last frogs with a squeal and raced away in opposite directions, shouting taunts of, "Can't catch us! Can't catch us!" Sisters Ulysia and Fenella slid to a stop on the polished marble floor outside the doors. They almost slid right into him and were only inches away. Richard held his breath. The sisters saw the boys make the turns at opposite ends of the hall. They threw their hands out. Pictures crashed to the floor as flashes of shimmering light knocked them from the walls at the end, but they missed the boys. Growling in anger, the sisters parted, one dashing after each boy. Richard waited until they had turned the corner, and then he stepped away from the wall, letting his concentration relax, letting the cape return to black. He wondered what it would look like if someone were to see it happen, to see a person seem to materialize out of the air. The outer room was empty. Before the door between the desks, the air seemed to sparkle and hum. Experimentally, Richard put his hand into it. The air felt thick, but it seemed to have no harmful effect. He pressed himself through the sparkles and went through the door beyond. The room inside, not quite as large as his own outer room, was dimly lit and paneled in rich, dark wood. In the center sat a heavy walnut table piled with papers and books and three candles. Down the length to each side were floor-to-ceiling bookshelves crammed full of disheveled books and a few other odd objects. An old woman, one of the cleaning staff, in a heavy, dark gray work dress, was standing on a stool, dusting a top bookshelf. She turned with surprise as he came to a halt. She glanced to the door and then back to him.
How did you...
I'm sorry, ma'am. I didn't mean to startle you. I just came to see the prelate. Is she about? The woman squatted, her foot searching for the floor. Richard gave her his hand. She smiled her appreciation as she brushed a wisp of graying hair back from her face. Most of it was drawn into a loose knot at the back of her head. Once she was standing on the floor, the top of her head only came up to the lower tip of his breastbone. Her body was on the wide side, as if she had once been taller, and a giant had put his hand on the top of her head and squashed her down a good foot. She looked up, giving him a curious frown.
Did sisters Ulysia and Fenella let you come in?
No, Richard said as he looked about the comfortably cluttered room. They stepped out.
But they would have left the shield.
Ma'am, I must speak to the prelate. Across the room, Richard saw doors to a courtyard standing open. Is she about?
Do you have an appointment? She asked in a quiet, gentle voice.
No, he admitted. I've been trying to get one for days. Those two wouldn't cooperate, so I made my own appointment. She put a finger to her lower lip.
I see. But you must have an appointment. Those are the rules. I'm sorry.
Richard started for the open doors. He was getting impatient, but kept his voice calm, as he didn't want to frighten the old maidservant. Look, ma'am, I must see the prelate, or we are all going to have an appointment with the keeper himself. Her eyebrows lifted in wonder.
Really?
She clicked her tongue.
The keeper, is it? My, my, my.
Richard stopped suddenly. He winced and let out a groan. He turned on his heel.
You're the prelate, aren't you?
An impish grin came to her face, her eyes twinkling with it.
Yes, Richard, I guess I am.
You know who I am? She chuckled.
Oh, yes, I know.
Richard sighed. So you're the one who runs this place. She laughed louder.
As I hear it told, you seem to be running it now. Been here hardly a month, and you have half the palace wound around your will. I've been thinking about asking for an appointment to see you.
Richard gave her a friendly scowl. I would have granted it.
I've been looking forward to meeting you.
She patted his arm.
From now on, you may come to see me whenever you wish.
Then why wouldn't you let me in before?
She folded her hands together beneath her ample, rounded breasts. A test, my boy, a test.
She smiled up at him.
I am impressed. I expected it to take you another 6 or 8 months yet.
The door burst open. Richard was jerked from his feet, yanked back by his collar, and smacked up against the wall. He was stuck tight, the wind knocked from his lungs. Two irate sisters stood just inside the doorway with their fists on their hips.
Now, now, the prelate said. Stop that, you two. Let the boy down.
Richard thumped to the ground, glaring at the two sisters. I am the one who talked those two boys into doing as they did. What they did is my fault. If there is any revenge, it had better be against me and not them. If you harm them, you will answer to me.
One of the sisters took a step toward him. Their punishment has already been ordered. This time, for once, they will learn a lesson.
She angrily pointed a stout rod at him. You are going to have your own punishment to worry about.
Yes, Sister Ulysia, the prelate said. I think punishment is in order.
The sister gave Richard a self-satisfied smile.
Yours, the prelate said.
Sister Ulysia gaped.
Prelate Annalena?
Did I not give you specific instructions that Richard was not to be allowed in here?
The two sisters straightened.
Yes, Prelate Annalena.
And here he is, standing in my office?
Sister Ulysia pointed at the door.
But we left a shield. He could not.
Oh, could not.
The sister's hand dropped at seeing the prelate's wrinkled brow.
Seems I see him standing here. Do I not, sisters?
Yes, Prelate Annalena, the two said as one.
And so now your idea is to reward your own failure by going back to your posts, as if nothing had happened, and punish their success?
The prelate clicked her tongue.
You two will take the punishment you have ordered for the two boys.
The sisters blanched.
But, prelate,
the second whispered,
you can't have that done to a sister. Really, Sister Fenella, what did you order for the boys? To have their bottoms strapped, publicly, tomorrow morning after breakfast. That sounds fair. You two will take their place.
But, prelate,
Sister Ulysia whispered in astonishment,
we are sisters of the light. That would be humiliating.
Learning humility never harmed anyone. We are all humble before the Creator. For your failure, you will be strapped in their place.
Sister Ulysia stiffened.
And if we fail to submit, Prelate Annalena?
The prelate smiled.
Then you would be telling me that you no longer deserve to be trusted, and further, that you no longer wish to be sisters of the light.
They both bowed. When the door closed behind them, Richard lifted an eyebrow to the prelate.
I hope never to get on your wrong side, Prelate Annalena.
She chuckled.
Please, call me Anne. That is what my old acquaintances call me.
I'd be honored to call you Anne, prelate, but I'm not an old acquaintance.
You think not?
She smiled.
My, what a knowledgeable boy. Well, no matter. Call me Anne anyway. Do you know why I punished them? Because you took responsibility for your actions. They did not recognize the importance of that. You are learning to be a wizard.
What do you mean?
You knew it was dangerous to cross those two, did you not?
Richard nodded.
Yet you used those boys, knowing that it was a possibility they could be hurt.
Yes, but I had to do it. It's that important, and it was the only thing I could think of.
The burden of a wizard, that's what it's called. Using people. A wise wizard understands that he cannot do everything himself, and that if the matter is important enough, he must use other people to accomplish what must be done, even if it is to cost those other people their lives. It's a rare ability, and vital to being a good wizard. Perhaps to being a prelate, too.
Anne, it's urgent. I must speak with you.
Urgent, is it?
Well, then, why don't we go for a walk in my garden and we can talk about this urgent business?
She placed her arm in his and walked him through the open doorway. Outside, in the moonlight, was a grand, expansive courtyard with trees, paths, flower beds, wild areas, and a lovely pond. The beauty of the garden didn't register in Richard's mind. He had hardly been able to eat or sleep since he had had his talk with Warren. If the keeper escaped, he would have everyone, including Kaelin. Richard had to do something.
Anne, there is great trouble in the world. I need your help. I need this collar off so I may go help.
That's what I am here for, Richard, to help. What is the trouble?
The keeper.
The nameless one, she corrected.
What difference does it make?
Calling him by his name calls his attention.
Anne, it's just a word. It's the meaning of the word that matters, not an arrangement of letters. Do you think that when you called the keeper the nameless one instead, that he would be fooled into thinking you weren't speaking of him? It's a mistake to assume your enemies are ignorant and you are clever.
A hearty laugh rose from in her chest.
I have been waiting for a very long time for someone to figure that out.
She paused with him at the edge of the pond, and he asked,
What is the pebble in the pond?
She gazed out over the water.
You are one, Richard.
You mean there are more than one?
A small stone floated through the air up into her hand.
Everyone has an effect on others. Some people inspire others to do great things. Some take people into crime with them. Those with the gift affect those around them even more. The stronger the Han, the stronger the effect.